Our passage from this morning comes immediately after the story we just heard in Matthew 14. It can be found on page 16 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along. Chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. When he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Father God, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few years ago, we were on a youth retreat, and I found myself facing this dilemma. I got caught in this battle between faith and fear. The kids were off doing their activities. Some were on a rock climbing wall, some were doing archery, some were on this giant swing, and some were venturing out on this high ropes challenge course. And I confess that course gives me a little bit of angst. So I planted myself firmly on the ground, watching as kids got helmeted up, harnessed up, and then they stepped out on this great adventure going across the ropes. I was scared to death. But they were having the time of their life. And as one little girl started out on the ropes, I knew she was going to be in trouble. She was kind of small and she was short, and she was having trouble reaching the next rope. And just as I suspected, at one point she lost her grip, her foot slipped, and she fell. And she dangled there by her harness, not worried at all. But I stood on the ground. I was battling my fear that she would fall, but I had faith in that harness. I was afraid that I was crazy to let the kids be doing this. And I had faith that the camp knew what they were doing. I had this fear that this was such a bad idea, and this faith that I wasn't leading this retreat, God was. We often get caught in this dilemma between faith and fear. Unfortunately, according to the parents I talk to, I think that fear is winning the battle in our culture. Parents tell me that they fear that their kids will be left out, so they hold the parties at their house. They fear their kids won't make the team, so they prioritize their life around schedules and games. They fear their kids won't get the job, so they intervene with bosses. One mom told me recently, and this is the mom of a high school student, she said today's parents are so afraid that their kids are going to harm themselves that they stand back in fear doing nothing. They lack the ability to display authority in fear it will devastate their children. She said, we might as well be handing our kids weapons. fear and faith. It's a battle we all face at some times in our lives. And according to our scripture this morning, it was a dilemma that the disciples faced also. If you've ever been on a boat in the darkness of night or seen a ghost, you would understand why they were afraid. You see, Jesus had insisted that Peter and the disciples go on the boat ahead of him and cross over the Sea of Galilee. Imagine this scene. They're on a boat in the darkness of night, and the winds are howling. The waves are battering the boat. Now, this is not a Disney cruise ship. This is a small fishing vessel with low sides. It makes it easy to fish, but it all about by the waves, beaten back by the wind. Scripture tells us that about 3 a.m, in the midst of this chaos, they're able to distinguish a figure coming towards them. Matthew says it like this: "And early in the morning, when he came walking toward them on the sea, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear." They cry out in fear. Now, these are the guys that had been walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus. These are the guys that just saw Jesus take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men. They can't recognize Jesus? What kind of disciples are these? But before we judge them, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of disciples are we? Are we any different? When we're struggling against the wind of life, being battered by the waves, do we have the eyes of faith to recognize that Jesus is near? If you knew that Jesus was within walking distance, what would your cry to Jesus be this morning? Would you cry out because you're drowning in debt and you haven't paid your mortgage in months? Would you cry out because your marriage is on the rocks? Would you cry out because you've been praying for a transplant for your father and time is getting short? Would you cry out because your grades don't qualify you to get into the school that your parents want you to get into? Are you crying out in fear? Are you crying out in faith? Are you even crying out? Either way, take heart. Jesus said, "It is I. Be not afraid." This is so fantastic. Jesus says, "It is I. Be not afraid." What this scripture reminds us this morning is that it doesn't matter why you're crying out. You can be harnessed to your fear crouching in the boat, or you can be harnessed to incredible faith, ready to jump overboard. And Jesus loves you so much that the sound of your voice gets the attention of your Savior. And at once, he will be there. The sound of your voice gets the attention of your Savior. Now, I'm a huge fan of the Gospel of Mark. It's an action-oriented gospel. So I wanted to compare the water-walking accounts. And the Gospel of Mark tells the water-walking account like this: "When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and they cried out." Let me read that again. "He intended to pass them by." Can that be right? Does Jesus know that his disciples are struggling and he just wants to get to the other side of the lake? Was he really intending to pass them by? What was he thinking? Theologians John Ortberg and David Gartland reveal that the Greek verb parakomai means to pass by, and it's a technical term that points to a theophany. Now, a theophany is a visible manifestation of God to humankind. Each time in Scripture, when God is passing by, we can expect he's trying to get someone's attention because he's about to call them to do something extraordinary. Passing by is how Moses was called. Passing by is how Elijah was called. And passing by is how Peter was called. So Jesus passing by the disciples is not just some cool magic trick. And it's not just a demonstration of his water walking skills. And it's just not a mode of transportation to get him to the other side. This was a divine revelation of God's presence on the water to reveal to the disciples that they could put their trust and their lives in him. Jesus was actually visiting them on the water to invite them to harness their destinies to him. Peter harnessed his faith and his trust to Jesus. And when he did that, he didn't ask for a guarantee. He didn't ask for a safety waiver. He didn't ask for a life jacket. He asked for a command. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Come. Jesus says, come. What was Peter thinking as he prepares to step out of that boat? In his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat, John Ortberg encourages us to put ourselves in Peter's place for a moment. You have this sudden insight in what Jesus is doing. The Lord is passing by. He's inviting you to go on the adventure of your life. But at the same time, you're scared to death. What would you choose, the water or the boat? Peter chooses to step out of the boat. You see, Jesus had invited Peter to come on an adventure of a lifetime. It's an extraordinary invitation and an extraordinary response. Peter steps out in faith and actually walks on water towards Jesus. Can you imagine how exhilarating this is? Have any of you ever been water skiing? And as you're just like cruising across the water, it's incredible. But you've got water skis in a boat. Peter has nothing but his faith. And he steps out. Friends, what do you choose? Do you choose the water or the boat? When was the last time your faith won the battle over fear so that you advanced toward the voice of your Savior despite the conditions of your life? How do you respond when Jesus calls? Peter stepped out in faith, and in the process, he embraced this opportunity for incredible spiritual growth and a Christ-centered adventure. Who would do such a thing? Well, over 25 years ago, a young man and his bride stepped overboard and went to Guatemala to serve. It would have been way safer and way cheaper and much more comfortable to stay at home. But Jesus called Jeff and Vicky to come. A decade ago, God called a successful lawyer to travel to Malawi, Africa, to serve the poorest of the poor. Bob Rode would have been way more comfortable staying in his life in Cream Ridge. But Jesus said, come. And Bob stepped out of the boat. A few months ago, there was a young man who was dreaming his career. And Jesus said, come. JC, come down to Crossroads and spend your time loving kids so they might come to love me. And JC stepped out of the boat. Friends, is Jesus passing you by right now, encouraging you to step out in faith and to do something extraordinary for him? Are you listening to the sound of the voice of your Savior say, come? Or are you happy just reclining in your lazy boy with your earbuds in, letting somebody else take that call? Stepping out in faith, harnessed to our trust in Jesus doesn't mean we're free from fear or free from struggles. We know what happened to Peter. He walked on water until he felt the wind and the waves. Now, some people think that this scripture points to Peter's failure of faith. And I think this scripture screams to us of God's unfailing love. It's a love that reaches down and rescues us when we're drowning, and a love that invites us on incredible adventure. When I was on that retreat, standing on the ground, I was like the disciples staying on the boat. Where are you this morning? Are you struggling against the winds of life? Trapped to your fear? Then cry out. Or if you're sensing Jesus passing by, saying, come, friends, then step out. Just step out. Amen.